and all through his career.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
And the celebration.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, which we have a little music in the background, and that's fine. We are delighted to have today with us several guests, which we're going to be introducing in a minute. But Karen Hubbard is also with us. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Karen is our program director, and sometimes we have wonderful things to talk about, and sometimes we have system glitches that need to be mentioned. So Karen's going to mention that first, because some of you probably noticed we've had some programs that did not act right.
That's right. So there are programs that are misbehaving. Then we transitioned over to the Christmas clocks. There seems to be an issue somewhere where the clocks are knocking the programs out of their rightful places.
I heard that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that there was three programs already, three 30-minute programs that after 15 minutes it knocked it right out.
Well,
so
then they'd start back over. One of them
started
back over.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Mark and I were trying to figure out where the issue is, but it did start when we changed over to the Christmas music. So we'll let you know.
Being attacked.
Yeah, that's
maybe
our system, like electronics. You know, the devil knows how to get in there.
He does.
And so we.
But he's a liar. So
yes, he is. And so that's all you need to know. But we're glad some people have called us and let us know what's going on. Yes, we the Christmas clocks, that does sound rather interesting,
Christmas
doesn't
clocks,
it?
Christmas clocks, yes.
But it's just that we have computer, we set up the computer for different times of the year when we have our prayer and share. Because we have an hour, the system has clocks every 24 hours. We play 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year, even on leap year. It's amazing. you're right. So we have that to deal with. And sometimes they don't coincide real well. We have to go in and fine-tune them. So that's what Karen is doing. That's why she's the program director. And I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord, because I don't have those gifts, but Karen does. In fact, she can just look at the computer and it resets itself. It's quite amazing. Well, we have, Ma and Pa's going to be here today, by the way. But we want to open up with our guests this morning. We have three wonderful people, one whom we just met today. And John's going to introduce her. But we have a man who's just come in off the street, sharing the Word of God. And Keith Masters, we're so happy to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, man, it's always great to have you in person here.
You know, thank you so much. It's just wonderful to be in the studio. It really is. It's a blessing.
It's good to have you here, and I was just thinking the other day that I haven't seen you for a while.
I know, to be in the snow.
So.
And Keith,
now here you are.
I am.
Keith Masters has a program, and here with us, it plays fairly randomly throughout the week, changes out once a week, and it's a street preacher, and he's out there, and he's sharing the Word of God. It's very powerful.
Thank you.
And so we continue and encourage you to do that. We also have John Nelson with Families Recover.
Yes.
With us, John, welcome.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you here.
Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and to all of our listeners. We pray that it will be a Merry Christmas this year. And we know some folks are going through times, and this time of year can be a difficult time, too.
Difficult.
We've lost loved ones. I just had a dear friend whose wife passed on Sunday. And, you know, so Christmas for his family is going to be a little different this year. But they're believers, and so, you know, God will take you through this time of difficulty. But John, you have a member of your board with you today. Would you please introduce her to us?
We got Lori Laramie. We've been doing business together, I think, 12 or 13 years.
Wow, okay.
She's an incredible realtor and a big member of the Lord's Army. And
praise God.
We decided that we wanted to add her to our board. We won't go into details why, because in the 501c3 world, you have to name a successor prior to passing.
Okay.
Or it goes bye-bye. So I didn't want to see 11 years of work to go bye-bye. And so I prayed about it, and I asked Lori, and she accepted, and we're going to do some great stuff together.
Absolutely.
Well, Lori, welcome to Wednesday Live in the WCNO family. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your testimony maybe, how you met the Lord and what he's been doing to you ever since.
Okay. So I grew up in a very Catholic household with my parents, you know, kind of at that point where you're forced to go to church and kind of sit there and do your thing. And I met my now ex-husband, but he reintroduced me to the church. And
cool.
I was hesitant at first to go, but then I started going on my own. And I've really just honed in on the Lord. And I have been reading my Bible. I have been praying. I had so much faith because it was on my terms now and what I wanted to do and how I wanted to find God on my own.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great moment when you know the Lord is in that and you're going to experience what he wants you to experience, which is full and it's perfect, and it's always a blessing.
Yeah, and it's different how you find it. I actually found it through worship music. I just one song just got a hold of me and just changed my life. And that same song that I hear always brings tears to my eyes every time, because it does. It has meant so much to me. So,
what song is that, if I ask?
I Am a Child of God.
Okay.
Amen.
By who was the artist?
Oh gosh, I don't remember who the
artist
was.
Okay, all right,
well,
okay.
I apologize.
Just Google. No, that's okay.
My daughter heard the same song, and she was taken in by that song as well. And every time, like, we have such a connection when we hear that in the car, that song has brought us together. And at the age that she is, at 13, what she found is she's finding it sooner than I did. So I'm blessed.
Well, it's David Crowder.
David Crowder.
Yeah, it's a Bethel song.
Exactly.
Yes.
No longer slaves to fear.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Casts out fear.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to ask our program director if you could give me the script number if we have it in our system.
Yeah.
And then I'll play it later on a break.
Sweet.
Before you go.
Nice. See how welcoming they are?
I know. So shout out to David Carter.
Another big deal is we're going to be movie stars this week at the Heat game with the foster kids. And a lot of people, including Mr. Masters here, have helped that situation come. It's our 10th year taking kids to the stadium.
How about that?
And Lori's a host of a TV show that's kind of national. It's a good news magazine. So it we're means. Actually going to be the focus of one of the upcoming episodes where we can talk about what God's done with FamiliesRecover.org.
Wow. Awesome.
We're excited about that. And that wasn't a reason a lot of people like, you brought it on your board because you're going to get TV time. I got God's favor.
No, and I'm here to help. And
we all have God's favor.
That's amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I want to be able to assist in where we can't sometimes do it financially. We always have, we can do it with our hands.
That's right.
So
yeah.
We can be a part of something like that and then carry on that legacy.
The labor of love.
It's a labor of God's love that brings us into it. That's the best labor. John, for just a minute, we always have people tuning in that don't know our regulars, right? And you're one. Of course, Keith is one, and Lori, you're going to become one. So just get accustomed to being here.
You know, we tune in 89.9 every morning. You know, I go back and forth between 101 because of the Christmas songs. You know, I'm trying to be a lot more, I want to be more spiritual.
Don't we all?
That's the reason behind those songs.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I've concentrated on this year. You know, when we started Families Recover, it actually was Families Against Drunk Driving 11 years ago, and I can't believe it's already been 11 years.
Wow.
And then soon when the fentanyl came in, we moved it over to FamiliesRecover.org, which with tragedies, which we've talked about on this show in my own life, I mean, we're losing 320, 330 people a day to overdose in America every day of the year.
Every day, yeah.
You know, we just lost... we're going to have a young lady that we helped get off that. Actually, we called the station because of our advertisement that we've been an impact partner for years. Going to kill herself.
Yes.
And here we are 5 months later, her whole family's going to the heat with us on Friday, including the ex-husband.
Praise
and
the
kids.
Yeah.
She just lost her brother last Tuesday to overdose.
Wow.
Called me up crying. I go, what's the matter? She goes, you ain't going to believe this.
Hmm.
You know, but she didn't have to go back to what she was doing on the streets prior. You know, she's got God now. And she's got the faith to stay on track. You know, we've been doing the stadium event. This will be the 10th year with the Heat. We're not the only nonprofit. They spoil nonprofits. They really are good to nonprofits, the team. You know, Carnival Cruise Line is the owner. It's a one-family deal. And we get tickets at a very good deal. So to be able to carry that back on, especially at Christmas with kids that don't have the opportunity, they don't have, you know, most of these kids will never see a stadium.
That's
and
right.
Most of those kids, because it's crazy, because we've teamed up with a guy out of Coral Springs, and there's a bunch of guys, they're Vietnam vets. They make their foster kids sign a contract of conduct. And 99% of their kids over since the 70s have gone to college. Why? Because they're being mentored. You know, so it's just really important. It's important to me. We're not the only one in town doing this. If you look around at some of the nonprofits, I know of a place on Salerno, they gave out 500 turkey dinners. You know, they gave out 300 bikes last week.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of churches and people in this town, including us, we're looking out for people because there's a lot of people that don't have. They just don't have. And it's shocking that you have school teachers in your own city that are living in their cars. That's a fact. That's a fact.
It is a fact. And the whole idea of taking these kids as a group to Miami to see the Miami Heat play. And I know the reason why, but there are some people maybe scratching their heads. So why is it important? Now, you're dealing with families, entire families in many cases, where there's one person who's addicted. There's a alcohol, drugs, combination, whatever is got them down. And you, when they contact, you're reaching out to them. You're bringing Christ into that family.
Absolutely.
And that individual is getting ministered to. But why do you do this for the kids?
You know, it might be crazy because a lot of the time... I can't remember until I started getting sober in 1988 ever doing anything without being drunk.
Yeah.
Never went to a ball game, never went to a concert. That was unheard of. So our big motivation behind stadiums with the Dolphins and the Heat were we wanted people that were in the addicted world and their families to see that you can go and have a great time collectively, preach the word, and not have to be stoned. You know, the big thing now is getting the families back together and being able to get them into a situation where we're going to have a lot of people this Friday. And it warms my heart to watch the family get together. There's no arguing. The kids are spoiled. The parents are spoiled.
Yeah.
And why? Because we love them.
Yes.
You know, we're trying to teach people that someone out there really does love you.
Yes.
And when it comes to these kids that are coming from troubled situations, they need that.
They do.
They crave it. They're craving leadership, right?
They're coming
out of traumatic situations where they've never gotten trauma coached. They've never gotten to the core issues where we want to love you, and it's not going to cost you nothing. Does that sound familiar?
It's very familiar. It sounds like Jesus to me. But also, the one other thing you're doing, which is so powerful, when you come into a family and you're working with the person who's addicted, but you're also seeking to break that generational cycle of addiction.
Amen. Yes.
And who are you going to work with? The kids.
Absolutely.
And that's what really gets my heart, John. It really touches me.
We love it.
It's so powerful.
We love it.
And why we continue to have you on here, because, you know, frankly, the undeterred flow of powerful testimonies blesses our listeners. It blesses us. And we're not selfish because we share it. We will.
A lot
we
of just people, talk. They get sober and they think they want to overcompensate. They want to go home and be superheroes, mom and dad, whatever, yeah. Grandma, whoever had the issue, the uncle. Man, that kid doesn't care about PlayStation. That kid cares about you spending some quality time with him.
Absolutely.
I get to go back. I got out of jail on the 20th of December, 14 years ago. And it's the God Pod. It's run by Dunklin.
Wow.
I made a stupid mistake, made a call on a restraining order. If you're on a restraining order out there, don't make the phone call. Because they're going to put you in jail. And I went to jail, and I was in the Dunklin dorm for 4 months and 2 weeks. And on Christmas Eve, they've invited me back to come share some hope with these guys. And what are we going to talk about? When you get out, just be a dad.
Yeah.
Go hug your kid. Yeah. Go throw a baseball with them.
Yes.
They don't care about PlayStation or the Tigers game or whatever game, the Heat. They just want your attention.
And while you're saying that, I'd like to just leap over into talking to dads right now who maybe they're not addicted to alcohol or drugs. Maybe they've never done jail time.
Sure.
But if you're addicted to anything that keeps you away from your family, really think hard about giving that up for a more important addiction, which is the positive one of loving your kids,
absolutely,
loving your wife, loving your family.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, you're on such a great track with that, and it's the craziest thing, because you would think that after 11 years and the traction in the courts, the traction in... We were just out in California, Lori and I, setting up some stuff, and I don't get a call, and a lot of times we have trouble raising money because we're the last people to hear from the family, and it's usually, I didn't know they had an issue, and now they're dead.
Yeah.
Well, you're not paying attention to your kids.
Absolutely. The signs are there.
Right?
Keith.
I just want to piggyback off of that, because it was 11 years ago. My son now is 12 years old, and when my son was born, I was smoking cigarettes, I was drinking, I was doing stupid stuff. And it's a year later, when my son was 1 year old, that I was delivered from my alcohol, I was delivered from my gambling, I was delivered from my alcohol, my gambling, my smoking. The Lord just delivered me from my addictions, and He has allowed me to be a father to my son. And that's what it is. And my son, in my family, you know, that's my family. That's the family that the Lord gave me.
Amen.
That's the gift that God gives us. And if we can understand that God gives us these gifts, and to live by the gifts that God gives us.
Amen.
And don't be so stringent, because I hear a lot of people in ministry, and I had a talk with a friend last night that blew me out of the water. I didn't realize just how cultish this church was, and I ain't going to go into any detail about it. If you make a mistake, He's not standing up there with a bullwhip. Mm-hmm. He's not. Just adjust your course and go back to loving your kids, or going back to loving yourself, right?
Right, Right. And yeah, Psalm 61 here, it says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. And I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And that rock is Jesus.
Amen.
And that rock is Jesus. So to have the desire, right? God always talks about the heart. It's always about the heart. To have the desire to seek God, if you're having those problems, to seek God, because he's the one that's going to deliver you.
That's right.
Nobody's going to do this on their own. That's what we have to know and understand, that God is the one who's going to deliver you. He broke the chains. He's the chain breaker.
That's right.
He broke the chains of my addictions. He broke the chains of so many other addictions of people that we, right, brothers and sisters, that we know and we met. So, you know, it's call to God.
Yes.
It's a call to God.
Amen. Amen. It's the only work that when we do it, we can say, well, that I have done, and that work is to receive Jesus.
Right, and Jesus will answer. Jesus will answer. He will answer.
But you got to wait for that. You know, the biggest problem we have in the addicted world, and even if abused, and it comes down to domestic violence, same thing. He ain't hearing me. I'm not getting it fast enough. Right. Well, there's three answers. It's not time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be time, and it just ain't going to happen.
Right.
But how am I taking those answers? You know, I've been praying for this ministry for 11 years, and things are really starting to come together. What would have happened 11 years, even WCNO, in the lean years?
Yeah.
How about Lori with what she's going through, and with Keith, 11
yes.
years? This didn't happen overnight. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But usually it doesn't. You got to be patient and wait for the measures.
And not take it upon yourself to say it's something I've done wrong or something I've
not
done.
That's right.
Done.
He's not a scorning God. He's not a hellfire.
No, but he will tell you if they're missing the boat.
Sure.
You know, he'll tell you if there's something you need to do. But what you need to do, in fact, Ma and Pa are going to tell us a similar story this morning about getting back to prayer. Get on your knees, go to the Lord, share your issue with him, which, by the way, he already knows about.
Knows everything.
He knows everything. And he also knows he has a perfect timing to get you out of that and get you to a place where he wants you to be. But once you finally realize you're in trouble, he may not answer you the way you want him to in the next second or two.
That's right. You get patience.
Yeah. That's when you're ready to receive it.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
30, mm-hmm. When I was 30, I went to a spiritual renewal service at a local church, and they invited people to come up for prayer. So I came up. I was wearing corrective lenses, you know, and I just was tired of that. Tired of having to wear them when I drove. It was just, for me, it was a problem. So I said, "What do you want prayer for?" I said, "I want my eyes healed." I was age 63 when God healed my eyes. I use these cheaters to read, but I don't need to. I got 20/25 vision to drive.
Wow.
That's God.
It's God.
But his timing was 33 years. So there you go. I want to, Keith, I want to ask you.
Just looking around.
What?
Jump in there, buddy.
Yeah,
Jump in there.
Tell us.
There's no time to be shy.
No, we're talking about calling out to God and that God's going to answer you. And everybody has different situations going on in their life. And I ran into a woman who her husband passed away. She's a young woman. She's in her 40s. And her husband passed away. So she's brokenhearted,
mm-hmm.
and she's mad at God. She's angry at God, and she said after we spoke, I met her at the courthouse. She was coming out of the courtroom, and I was out on the street. And she let me know that her husband passed away. We sat, we prayed, and she called me back that night to tell me that she ran into a situation that afternoon, and the Lord had given her complete peace through that situation.
Praise the Lord.
So So to come to Jesus, she's a Catholic church, you know, Catholic girl, goes to the Catholic church, and not on a personal relationship with Jesus. A couple of days go by, and lo and behold, the Lord puts her in my path again, and she's out doing duty for what the court gave her because she got caught DWI, but. the thing of it is that she's seeking Jesus. She's seeking relief from her broken heart.
Yeah.
And the answer is the Lord.
Right.
That is the answer.
Amen. He's always been the answer.
He's always been the answer, right. And there's so much going on today.
And if you don't think he's the answer, and you make a list of all the things you've tried to fix stuff,
right.
You failed every time. Just this one time, turn to Jesus and give it to him and see what he does with it.
Well, being able to accept when the door closed. The door is closed. I used to fight this because I've been in business my whole life with Italian food, blah, blah, blah. From the streets, the prisons, the dumpster to Club yeah. Med. When God doesn't want it to be, it ain't going to be.
Right.
And if it's a fight for that to be, it's because it's not supposed to be.
Right.
See, so I'm to a point in my life, and I mean, we use this a lot in the program. Y'all know I'm sober. Mm-hmm. I'm an AA guy. Are we being lighthouses? And that's what God really put on my heart. In the last 6 months, I don't know why. We're supposed to be lights anyway, right?
Right. Don't put your light
your house up. Don't put your light away. So yeah. In a lot of meetings and even in the jails, we're sharing that a lot. Listen, are we being approachable? Do we have something that's attractive to people that we're trying to minister to? Because if your light's not shining, then you're probably not on the right path.
Yes.
And if you can't take the correction, like my mentor died 5 months ago, I have a lot of people in my life that will tell me, you know what, you're off course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I going to listen to that? See, because if God doesn't want a door to be open, I can force that door open, but right. It's probably not going to be first peaceful. It's not going to be fruitful. And it's just going to come to a demise in the end, right? He loves me enough to close the doors and open the doors. And if you stick around long enough and you pray hard enough and you hang around the right people that are lighthouses, you'll see the path is open in that direction for a reason.
Amen.
That's right.
And it's to give back to other people. We're in a bad time. I don't know if anybody watches the news. I don't.
At the end of the day, it's all about God, and it's only all about God.
That's right.
And, you know, we all have a tendency to put something on our own idea that makes it sound like it's from God so that we can convince God to do it.
Right.
You know, but this is where prayer comes in, and study mm-hmm. of the Word and getting intimate with God so you can really hear him say, hey, that's a great idea, or don't do that. There's a scene, a lot of movies and TVs, if you watch enough of that, there's always a scene where somebody is running from somebody else or they're running to something and they're in a building and they go up to the second or the third story and they open this door. And the door, there was nothing built on the outside of the door. So they go out the door and they fall two or three stories. That's my story whenever I have done something that was not of God. You can count on it, right?
And you know in your spirit that it's wrong.
You know, yeah, you do.
And then I just, if you're anything like me, I'm just going to put that down here and I'm just going to ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't want to ignore it anymore.
Keith. I can ask you, what's happening on the street, brother?
More of the same. The Lord bringing people into my life. God shows up in every place. The Lord is everywhere, right? Omnipresent. Mm-hmm. I was in the supermarket, a crowded supermarket, and I'm looking at stuff as I'm buying it, and everything is $10, $10, $10. Everything today is $10.
Right.
So I was going down the aisle, and there's a guy coming down the aisle, and I said, everything in this store is $10. I told him, I said, everything in this store is $10. And do you know, finger? He goes, come here, I want to show you something. He brings me to the nose strips. He goes, 3 months ago, these were $6.99. He goes, today, they're $10. Now, they're $10. So, what started with $10 and nose strips, and he goes, I know this because I use them and it helps me sleep. Yep. I don't snore and it doesn't wake me up. So he uses them, so he knows exactly the price of the nose strips. And do you know, we sat there in the aisle, testifying Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, right, to him, and he was on a search for God. Mm-hmm. On a search for God. Now, we have all these people in the supermarket, and the Lord has me talking to one person in the aisle for 20 minutes. I'm taking 20 minutes. His wife is sick. He was out shopping for his wife, and he was a shady character. Shady character is all I'm going to say. He was involved. Let's just say that. He was involved, and he goes, I've done very, very bad things.
Mm-hmm.
He believes in God, but he doesn't, he doesn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
He doesn't know Jesus. So, God is everywhere, and you know, we need more of people sharing Jesus.
Absolutely. Right.
We need more of people sharing Jesus, because we prayed, I prayed for him, and I know, I believe in my heart that the Lord is going to save him.
Amen.
I believe in my heart.
Amen.
Awesome.
I do too. I think it's cool that this thing started out with nose strips, and then God had you put your nose in his business.
Right.
And he got my chance.
No.
Breath of fresh air.
No, it's
in the spirit.
And you know, this is when you know what the will of the Lord is. The breath of the Spirit.
It's just what's happening.
Yeah, but she knows as well as I do. Us three guys, we're not shy.
No, we're not shy.
I'm thinking about what John was talking about earlier. You know, people, whether you're in addiction or whatever you have going on in your life, if you're the main focus of your life, then that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you hear Keith's testimony. He's out sharing. The Lord leads him to people and stuff. And the Lord wants to do that with each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each one of us is called to be a light, like you were talking about. But when we're so focused on ourselves and our own issue, then we cannot be effective witnesses for the Lord. And several months back, the Lord had given me that word, vicissitude. I've never heard that word in my life.
Me neither.
I can't even pronounce
and
it.
Vicissitude.
But there's a vicissitudes are changes in circumstances at different times during the life or the development of someone or something, especially those that result in conditions being worse. So maybe you lose a job or something. But whatever it is in your life that's causing you, you know, you're down, then you're self-focused. All your attention is on yourself. So, and that's the time that the Lord is trying to get your attention.
Amen.
And when you turn whatever you got going on over to the Lord and seek him and look for his comfort in that, because he alone can give you the comfort and the peace and the direction, then that's when the Lord will turn your life around. But if you, like, you're wallowing in your own stuff, hoping that things change and go away, it's not. But when you surrender to the Lord, in that place of continual surrender, until the Lord is the one that is going to lead you out. And you have to allow him to lead you out. We want to jump around or go the other direction, but it's the Lord himself who's, he's like, I'm going to be the one to lead you out of that place. And you have to have faith and patience to wait for him.
And looking, you know, doing the work that it takes. I mean, a lot of people come in and they get clean. And there's some responsibility there. I had to start healing. I had to start forgiving. I had to start believing that he's going to answer that prayer when he wants to answer it.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
See, and when God put it on my heart to go to kids and families recover, it's because I remember as a little boy, didn't have a dad that really taught me anything, but I had guys in our neighborhood in Ferndale, Michigan, that took the time, as a very young boy, under their wings.
Mm.
See, we can make a difference. It doesn't have to be a heat game. It can be a simple, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
How is the family?
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. Listen, we need to take a little break. We're going to have some music, and it's going to be your
song,
No Longer Slaves, right? Now, this is the version it's a Bethel version, but this may not be the same artist, but it's the same tune.
Thank you.
You unravel me a melody you surround me with. So I've delivered from my enemies till all my fears have gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb,
slap myself on the hand here. Well, before we get back to this lovely crew. And some tremendous, we're going to go to Lori in a minute and have her talk about what she's done, what we're going to be able to see right on television soon. It's powerful. But Ma and Pa have arrived, at the radio station. They have a little story that they're going to, as they always do. And our narrator today is going to be Keith Masters.
For nearly 30 years, Ma and Pa have been on the Bickers Corner Christmas Nativity Committee. A week before Christmas, they joined several townspeople who assembled the nativity scene in the town square. It's a festive event, and several local churches bring their choirs for an evening of worship when the nativity scene is completed.
Hey, Pa. I made our coffee extra strong this morning, since I know you didn't sleep very well last night. And I gotta say, I didn't sleep good either.
Sleep eluded me, Ma. Why? I tossed and turned so much, I wore a hole in my sheets.
Well, that's not a problem. Them sheets were about wore out anyway. I was going to get downtown to Elmer's Linens and Other Cloth Stuff store and get you some new sheets anyway. I gotta say, Pa, you wear out more bed sheets than any other person I know. You must toss and turn a lot.
Well, I've had a fair amount of things to worry about over the years, especially when it comes to all them chickens we got. You know how delicate their little psyches are? Why, the slightest change in their environment throws their minds completely off kilter.
Oh, I know that for sure. And today, we're kind of like them chickens, ain't we? All this business about canceling that nativity scene, man, it's very upsetting.
Upsetting? Why, it's more than upsetting. It's a tragedy of cosmic proportions. Why, that's what it is. That's what we got for electing a whimpering pagan for a mayor. Ever since them rich folks from the Northeast moved down here, he's been sidling up to them, taking all kinds of time schmoozing with them.
Now, Pa, take care not to be judgmental.
It ain't improper judgment when the evidence is undeniable. You remember how the mayor worked real hard to entice that New York deli chain to open up a store downtown? Well, the city gave him near 100% tax break. And the mayor encouraged old Harper Schminkel, who owns several buildings downtown, to non-renew the lease for that single mom who ran the top of the morning diner.
Yes, I do. That surely was a great disappointment.
Yes, it was. You know, us fellows in the men's Bible study would stop in there for breakfast and coffee before our meeting. It was a tradition, and it really blessed us, and so many others. We even had our favorite booth in the back, near the restrooms, which is a blessing for us old guys.
So, do you have any ideas about how we can deal with this cancellation of the nativity scene? I mean, how can we let this stand? Well, yesterday, I got a call from old Maria Lofspackler. She said she'd been crying so hard that her prosthetic eye fell out and rolled under the refrigerator. She's still trying to get someone to move that fridge. She says it's real hard to walk about with one eye closed all the time.
Yeah, I know. And the only idea I got is to march right down to the mayor's office with as many people as I can get with me. Face him off right there. Maybe a good and angry crowd might get him to listen to reason.
Well, it might, but something like that may also get out of hand, especially if you include old Adrian Metfloss. You know, he ain't exactly a paragon of self-control.
That's true. He's the one who lost his temper big time at that fancy Italian restaurant downtown. He ordered the chicken parmesan, and when it came, he said it looked undercooked. So he grabbed that breaded chicken breast and threw it like a frisbee at the waiter. What hit it, man, square in the eyes. He fell onto a table where the local gang of outlaw bikers was having a birthday party.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, that poor waiter had to run for his life. And one of them bikers had thrown a full loaf of Italian bread at his head like it was a spear.
And it nearly knocked him out. That's one reason I don't order their bread, Ma.
Well, I would pick the folks you're going to take to the mayor's office with great care. Thinking of that, you also might leave old Martha Quartzfilter off your list. You know, she has some physical problems when she gets angry.
That's true. The mayor has a tiny, airtight office, after all.
Well, listen, Pa. Do you really think a confrontation like this is the best approach? I mean, this won't be the first time the mayor has to deal with the anger like this. I suspect he's developed a thick skin about it all.
I suppose that's what got me so frustrated. We can't let this decision stand. But what might get the mayor to change his mind without possibly perpetrating an arrestable offense?
Well, I've been thinking, whenever we have a problem like this, And no matter how pressing is the need for a solution, we stop and pray. I believe we need to spend some time this morning with the Lord and listen for His direction.
You're right. As always, Ma. When I get a burn to my saddle like this nativity cancellation thing, I get so worked up, I forget to pray. So let's just carve out some good time to do that and then act on what the Lord gives us.
Exactly. And if He wants us to confront the mayor after all, we can do it. And if He has another approach, we'll know what it is and we'll get it underway.
Since we're going to pray, you know, I'd sure like to include a petition to the Lord to change the hearts of all them Northeasterners who moved here, because the folks they elected that drove them out up there, they're trying to perpetuate the same problems here.
I agree that this is a job for God, and our prayers for them folks should be for a deeper work of God in their hearts, more than just politics. If they come to know Jesus, then they'll receive God's grace for a full transformation, and their worldview will be changed to God's view. Doesn't get any better than that.
Amen. Ma, you got it. But I'm still thinking of starting a campaign to vote him out of office.
Got any ideas how you might get started?
Well, my best idea right now is to convince Martha Quartzfilter to work for his next campaign. With her in the office, it will be hard to keep campaign workers since she has such a delicate GI condition.
Oh, my advice to you, Pa, keep thinking.
The wisdom of praying when facing difficult times is always the best course of action. God does know best. His perfect wisdom can't be beat. No matter what challenges you today, give it to God and experience His victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's Ma and Pa for today. They're always into something. Lori, during the break, you shared something that you got involved in that's going to be televised. I'd like you to talk about that and also include what's been going on in your heart that got you to do that.
Well, it's been a lot of prayer. As we all know, like what's going on in the world, we all need positive media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this show is all about that. So it's about positive media, bringing to light, you know, some of our nonprofits, our 501c3s, local businesses, you know, because we all struggle throughout the year. But just being more involved with the community and bringing that out there. So I tape a show called The American Dream TV. There's realtors and other mortgage professionals that are involved with the show as well. There's only a certain amount per area. And it's something that I am able to contact an organization and say, you know, I would love to have you on this show. I would love for you to tell the community what you're doing, because some of these nonprofits also need help raising money. And for also like the kids that may not know about the organizations that can benefit from it, to find out about that organization. So that is my goal with the show. Obviously, I'm a realtor and 20% of it can be about real estate, but I do try to focus on our local community.
So, and that started where? Whose bright idea was American Dream TV?
Are you talking about
the founder?
Craig Sewing was the founder of the American Dream, starting in California, and he actually had a radio show. So that's how he started. And then it transitioned into this, being positive media, because that's what we want to hear. That's what we need right now. So I have prayed a lot about it, and I said, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? How can I be that platform for somebody to have their voice and share that? So it is local, but it's also national as well. And I'm just feel blessed that I can be that platform and that caveat for these organizations. So I'm looking, and I can't wait for this to grow. And I just taped a fundraising event with the Surfers for Autism. These kids are absolutely amazing. My heart was so filled that day, and that will air in January. And I'll just be doing taping familiesrecover.org. I'm blessed to be a part of this organization as well right now. So it's like a double whammy for me, because I get not only to do the show, but also be a part of that organization. So I'm so happy about that.
How can people access the broadcast?
They can. It's actually on Roku TV. There's Instagram, Facebook. So with that, they get millions of views on the show. And it's from all across the country. So whether it be local, and I'm actually in a group of women through the organization, through the TV show, that we actually just build each other up and just get ideas together. But we are across the country.
And it's called again?
It's called The American Dream TV.
American Dream TV.
And it is an app. So if you go onto your smart TV, you can actually download The American Dream TV and watch from wherever you want. You can click on, if you want to see something in New Hampshire or Texas, you can watch all those shows and see what the other hosts are doing.
Cool. That's worthy, especially with all the questionable programming today.
It is.
If you want an uplift, check out American Dream Television. Yes. And especially if you can see Lori there.
Yeah, I have my first episode and my second one will be airing in January. Yay!
Well, unlike the rest of us in this room, pardon me, Karen, Lori does have a face for TV. We have faces for radio.
Oh, thank you.
No, I shouldn't say that.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. Are you going to return to Christmas?
I have to think about this one.
A little more depth.
I'm going to retract.
It's on tape.
It is.
We can re-listen to this online.
We can. We will.
Forever.
It's forever.
The internet is forever.
We're a lot more deeper than...
That's scary.
The news magazines... Unfortunately, your syndicated TVs, CNN, CBS, NBC, they won't share their kind of shows. No. So these people, I've done some research on this guy, they're going after cable networks that will allow it. CW,
right.
Instagram, yep. Blah, 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 blah.
The Travel Channel now is going to have it.
See, there is a lot of other programming out there that's not newsworthy. Media, CBS, NBC, blah, blah, CNN, which will never show this type of stuff. But there is programs out there that we need, and there is good news.
Yes.
There's a lot of good news, but we're not getting any good news.
No.
So.
And mainly we're not getting any true news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, before we go any further, to the 7.5 million potential listeners in our coverage area, I'm issuing a verbal apology to Karen Hubbard.
Is that in writing?
My inappropriate commentary, totally not thought through, and totally false. So I ask, beg your forgiveness.
Sounds like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, well, before we have about 8 minutes before we have to sign off. So back to John, back to Noah, back to either of you two gentlemen. Yeah. Do you have any final words?
Yeah, we're in difficult times now. We're in dark times right now.
Yes,
we're in dark times. And to believe that the Christians have to start standing up, and I have a sister in Christ who I happened to go to breakfast. She's a waitress over there, and she said that the Lord gave her a dream to go over to President Trump's house and start over at Mar-a-Lago and start praying. And she's been over there 3 times as the Lord has instructed her to keep going back and praying over at Mar-a-Lago. And you know that they're attacking President Trump. President Trump is a brother in Christ.
Yeah.
He's a brother in Christ, and he always glorifies God in whatever he's doing. Now, there's been mistakes, but that's, no mistakes. But anyway, so she said that she had this dream and that the Christians have to start standing up, and we're not being counted.
No.
Everybody else is wanting to be counted, against Israel. They want to be counted. The LGBTQ, they want to be counted. Everybody wants to be counted, but the Christians aren't standing up and to be counted. And she is saying that she had a revelation that if the Christians will start going outside of their house and praying, be recognized as a Christian, praying 2 Chronicles 7:14 prayer, that God will come and hear our prayers and to restore this nation back to God, because this nation is falling away from God and the Christians are not standing up to the battle.
Quiet.
Amen. Yes.
And it's been very quiet.
Very quiet.
Well, we've been taught for generations to be quiet.
No.
Because I'm a pastor, I was trained, I went to seminary in the early 80s.
Right.
And I know it was in there for a while. that the liberal I can't even speak. The liberal progressive attitude was already in academia, even in the 70s. And in the church that I was involved in, what we call a mainline church, they're already embracing that whole thing and teaching their pastors to embrace it. And also this thing about the separation of church and state, which is never in the Constitution. And Jefferson wrote it. It was in the Federalist Papers, but he was specifically talking about the government staying out of the business of the church, not the church staying out of the business of government. Because in the scriptures it tells us God wants to not just be in government, he wants to be our government.
That's right.
And so that was the foundation for America. And God is going to get us back to that. But we have people that are, they've totally bought that hook, line, and sinker. Now, first of all, it's totally wrong. If you're basing your Christian walk on a lie, get your head out of where it is right now and breathe the fresh air of the Holy Spirit teaching you the church has to be involved in the culture. And that's in the scripture. Jesus encourages disciples to be that way. You know, if it wasn't true, they'd have never left the upper room.
Right.
Right? What would they have had to offer the world but to walk into that culture with the Holy Spirit and share the gospel? And God hasn't changed his mind, so you change yours about being involved in the culture. That's the truth.
That's right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. That was my soapbox.
I love that.
And it's true. It's true. We got to get our heads in other places. I won't say what I was about to say, but we got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't see any liquor shortages when COVID had everything else short.
Right.
Why?
No, why? Right.
Why? I mean, I guarantee that there's people, if you're anything like me, who is a backslidden Christian, you're sitting in your house listening to us talk on the radio right now, you're debating whether you should take that second drink at noon, unless you've already had four.
Yeah.
When is the time? Well, the time's now.
Yeah.
Make the phone call.
It's always now.
You can go now. If you're thinking about going out and seeing that drug dealer and getting that needle full of stuff, call me.
What's your number?
285-5828, 772-285-5828. And you guys know as well as I do, over the last couple of years, we've gotten phone calls from that circle of impact partner on this radio station. If you're a business, you want to do business, this is the place to advertise. We've had a couple people call that were going to kill themselves, for real.
Yeah.
We were able to get in touch with them. We were able to minister to them. They're doing everything they're supposed to do, and their lives are back together. And now they're rolling down the street with God. See, there's people right now in this community, and I don't care if you're sitting on a park bench or if you're sitting in Souls Point. I've been at both avenues and just as lost in both places.
Right.
See, we're called to be approachable. I can sit down on a bench and cry with a homeless guy. I'm not patting myself on the back. It's because I've been there.
Right.
We're just out on Hollywood Boulevard in California. Homeless bum. Doesn't scare me because I was him.
Right.
Yeah.
See, Jesus didn't come back for your saved people. He came back for the people that are lost.
Yep.
See, it doesn't matter how lost you are. The time is now. See, it's later than you think. And I say this in AA a lot.
Yes.
It's later than you think, but it's not too late.
Exactly.
It's not too late. Find a Bible-believing church. Find a woman. If you're a female, get with a female that you trust. They're not going to judge you.
Yes.
Get with a guy that's not going to judge you. Right? And they're in every church in this community. We are a very Bible-believing community. The greatest churches in this community are doing it the right way.
Yes, they are.
Right?
Praying for them more and more.
But you got to get off the couch and make the call.
Exactly.
So you
got
to get off the couch and walk in and say, listen, this is where it's at. We have people walking into the hall all the time, stumbling off their own 2 feet. 6 months later, their life's back together.
Yes.
See, but the secret is this. Don't forget where he brought you from. I never want to forget who I was. See, but I won't use that as a victimization either, because there's a lot of people that play the victim. There ain't no victims. There are no victims. The only victims are the kids that I destroyed,
Amen.
Right? How about the legal system that I cost $1 million? How about the hospitals over the years that I cost millions of dollars? I'm not the victim.
Amen. I had to cut you off.
That's right.
But we have just 2 seconds, and then we have to say goodbye. So, in fact, we have to say goodbye. Thank you all. Thank you so much coming, Lori and John.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and Dave, yeah, just as we're closing, okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
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 Thank you. God bless.
God bless.